Good morning. Welcome to the Sussman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here as well to answer your lawn and garden questions. The number this morning, 316-869-1330, 316-869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page as well. Hey, good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great.
Feels like fall this morning.
It did feel like fall this morning, yeah. Finally. So getting into some of that fall weather. Hard to believe this is our last show of the season, even.
It is. It's really flown by this year. As we say that every year, though, but really seems like it flew by this year. Let's talk about what's growing on at Stutzman's this weekend.
Hey, you know, we got a lot of great things going on. Late season mums showing some great color. If you need to do some fall decorating or planting with some of those, still have a good selection remaining on all of those funky and traditional pumpkins and the little gourds and things. And some of the nicest pansies we've had in a while available right now. So a lot of good things going on. Those outdoor locations, you know, they're probably going to be open another, up to another week or so, kind of depending on inventory. We've shipped everything off the farm. So, you know, what we have in our stores right now is what we have for the rest of the season. But the stores are all looking pretty good right now and lots of things to choose from yet.
Yeah, we were at your North Rock Road store last weekend and saw all the beautiful pansies and mums out there. And yeah, they just look great.
Yeah, and it's been a pretty good season for that. A little bit warm the last week or two has kind of really got some of the mums opened up. But some of the upcoming weather, a little bit cooler, a little bit nicer, and that's really going to prolong how long some of those mums and things keep looking good at your home.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories I saw this week was the winner of the world champion pumpkin weigh-off. I don't know if you saw that, but the winning gourd went in at just over 2,300 pounds.
Wow. No, I hadn't seen this year's yet, but I always kind of keep an eye out for that. We have some pretty good-sized ones, you know, in Kansas at the Kansas State Fair, but I also spent a lot of time in Iowa and at their state fair. Pretty regularly, they would have multiple ones well over 1,000 pounds. But, man, we're talking a ton pumpkin for the biggest one this year, over yes. A ton.
That's crazy.
Ooh, that's a lot of pie.
It is, yeah, which I like, by the way, Jason, a lot of pumpkin pie. Hey, let's get started here on the Stutzman's Facebook page. I saw an article about updating a summer planter to a fall planter. What are some good tips for doing that?
You know, and that's just a great way to keep that color going in that area. You know, the example shown, it can be as simple as just pulling out those other plants, making some room in the soil and, you know, a nice big mum set in there. And then you could use, you know, some of those smaller little gourds and mini pumpkins around there. You know, some artificial leaves to add some of that fall color to it. You know, there's just a lot of things and you can quickly and easily do that. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal of planting and growing and doing. Just using that pot again as that container for that is really simple like that. Or, you know, if you're planting, wanting something a little more long-term, you know, filling that pot up with some pansies and things, you're going to have, you know, great color for months in that container. So kind of depending on how much you want to get into it, but great way just to change out some of that summer plants into a little more seasonal look to it.
All right. And again, you could see that article about updating your summer planter into a fall planter on the Stutzman's Facebook page. A lot of great info there on that page. Now, we know it's also a good time to plant our spring bulbs. What are some best practices when it comes to getting those planted?
Yeah, and perfect time for that. And we've had good soil moisture, things like that. But what we have to remember with a lot of those bulbs is, you know, you can cut a tulip bulb in half. You know, you destroy it, but, you know, at the time of planting, if you were to do that, and you will actually see several layers of bulb, and then you can see the flower is actually down in there. So these bulbs already formed all their flower, everything they need for spring. So we want to dig a nice whole, you know, whether you're doing individuals or a pattern or however, but if you don't have specific directions, remember the bottom of that bulb depth needs to be about three times the height. So if it's a 2-inch tall bulb, we'll want the bottom of that bulb about 6 inches down. Set those all in there, and you know, with two, well, all of them, the little noses or the point goes up on the bulb, and if you look on the bottom, you'll see a little disc where the roots used to be, kind of like the bottom of an onion, so we want that down. A little bulb food maybe in there with it, so it has some nutrition, and water them in, cover them back up, water it in a little bit better, like, so it's nice and thoroughly watered in from planting, and really that's about it. What's going to happen is with that moisture and as the soil begins to cool, that bulb will start sprouting roots out the bottom, and it gets a nice, big, healthy root system, and then it needs that coolness of winter in that soil, it's kind of its alarm clock for it, and that needs so many weeks of that cool. And then as that soil begins to warm back up in April, that's what tells it that it's time to sprout up and shoot that bulb out of that, or the flower out of that bulb up through the surface. And it's built this nice root system and had that fertilizer down there for it, and you'll get that maximum nice big bulb. But really one of the easiest planting projects. I mean, it's great for kids or a beginner or whatever. It's I think the bulb people had a advertising thing a few years back that was dig, drop, done, and you know, basically that's what's required for growing some nice tulips or daffodils or the hyacinths. They're great smell. All of those fall planted bulbs are done that same way.
I like that slogan. Very, very succinct. It's the Stutzman Tillman Garden Show this morning. It's our last one of the season. Your final chance to get in your question about your lawn or garden at 316-869-1330. That's area code 316-869-1330. You can also send that question to the KNSS Facebook page. That's what Bailey has done. And she's asking, which trees should we wrap for the colder months?
You know, a lot of times we don't need to do a whole lot of that. I will say, if you have, especially if they're younger, maple trees can tend to have a little bit, and some of our fruit trees, but those thinner bark trees, sometimes you can get some scorch on, usually it's going to be the west side of the tree. And what happens is it goes dormant for the winter, and then the sunnier days, a little bit warmer days shining on that west side, well, it gets a little bit of that sap moving and all, and then we freeze again and you get that damage there. So, you know, especially when they're new and that bark's real smooth, as trees get older, they get the rougher bark, but a paper, nice paper wrap around there will keep that off of there. Or one I like to use that's, you can use it for a lot of years, but it's called drainage tile. It's kind of this ribbed plastic tube that you can buy by the foot at a hardware store. But take a box knife and just slit it down the side, open it up, and it can snap around there. And, you know, it doesn't have to be tight up against it. We're just trying to keep that, mostly keeping that sun from scalding that bark on there, and those work really well for that. And as the tree gets a little bit bigger, I'll cut it down to just, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall and have it around the base, so the mower or the string trimmer or whatever doesn't hit that tree. It makes a good string trimmer guard as well, but it can be something as simple as that. Until those trees get a little bigger and a little more mature, that is a good practice for them.
All right, Bailey, thank you so much for your question this morning. Again, the number 316-869-1330. If you have a question for Jason about your lawn or garden, let's talk about vegetables. Which ones, Jason, should we be planting here in the fall?
You know, fall is, there's still a few vegetables we could be planting. You know, one of them is going to be garlic, and that's going to be harvested next year, but it's a hardy plant the garlic is, and you'll break it apart into the individual cloves, and then they'll go with their tops maybe an inch or so below the soil, and you'll usually see them sprout up during the winter. They'll be look like a little green onion, a little green sprout there. And but much like we were talking about the flowering bulbs, that garlic bulb, that little clove you planted, it's going to be growing this well-developed root system over the winter time, so as soon as spring comes, it can put all it can into growing and forming a new bulb, and usually you get a lot nicer garlic from fall planted than you can plant them in the springtime, but you've kind of lost that extra rooting time you get from winter. So that's a good one that still could be planted. You know, perhaps if you had maybe some containers or some way to protect it if it was going to frost real hard. Some of those cooler weather greens like spinach could probably still be seeded and grow to get you a harvest. The already established stuff, a lot of times we can have fresh spinach till, you know, January or so. Eventually it gets too cold and it freezes off, but those can be done now. But then, you know, a lot of our other fall garden crops are just starting to come in. I harvested about two or three heads of broccoli this week, so you know, a lot of them are starting to get ready, and those are nice because they can keep growing. And same with like your cabbages, you know, until they're of a harvesting size, but a light frost isn't going to bother those kinds of plants. A lot of times it even helps enhance the flavor, brings out a little more sweetness in the cabbages and all. So, you know, a lot of those are still going to be growing as well.
We're going to see cooler temperatures this weekend, and before long, we're going to see that first frost, as you kind of mentioned right there, Jason. What are some things that we can do to prepare for that frost?
You know, a few things. You know, if you have your, you know, flower perennial beds, trees and shrubs, things like that, we want to make sure we have a nice layer of mulch. If it's, you know, broken down or blown away or moved around throughout the season, we may want to add some fresh in there. It's nice to have a good 2 or 3 inch layer of mulch around all those plants so their roots don't get those quick extremes we have day to day in Kansas. And then if you have things that are still blooming and looking really nice, if we do call for a frost, you probably want to cover them. And we talk about it a little bit in the spring too, but for covering, it's much, much better to use something that has a woven method to it as opposed to just like flat plastic. If you just put a plastic over it, they don't really keep much of that cold off of the plant. And just a plastic, you'll get frost right on the very top of the plant, where if we have something like a sheet or, you know, a towel or something along those lines that we drape over it, that fabric-y part of it actually holds that frost a little bit up off of it and provide much better protection. And then, you know, in the morning you can go ahead and take that off. And a lot of times, you know, you might have to cover something once or twice, but then we get this several weeks again without any of that frost, and you know, you can really extend how long some of those plants are lasting with that.
You are listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning, the last one of the season. If you have a question about your lawn or garden, 316-869-1330 is the number. Again, that's area code 316-869-1330. You can also send your question to the KNSS Facebook page as well. Jason, I saw a video on your Facebook page that shows you've got plenty of those migrating monarch butterflies making a stop at your main greenhouse, right?
Oh, they have been amazing the last probably started about 2 weeks ago, and has really been kind of, I think, at their peak about right now. But, you know, it's just a prime example of paying attention to some of the plants they like for people that want to attract butterflies and things during the season. Right now that we've got a little video up on our Facebook page of, it's one of our beds that has lantana in it, and they just love that lantana. And there was, you know, probably a dozen monarchs out in that area just feasting on that lantana and getting revved up for. I cannot believe those things go all the way to Mexico, that right. delicate little flying butterfly, but that's where they're headed. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of some of those roosting grounds, but it's amazing. They're like multiple inches deep, just piled on these trees and branches and everything.
Yeah, they are amazing creatures, and I like the headline there in your video. It says that the monarchs are using your greenhouse as a charging station, which is true.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're feeding on that sugar, that nectar in each of those little lantana flowers, and, you know, charging themselves up for their next journey. And, you know, they get way up high in the jet stream, I think, even, and drift with it to the south, and they'll find other places to stop and that same kind of thing. But yeah, pretty amazing watching them drift around nice, sunny, warm day like that.
Absolutely. Do yourself a favor. Go to the Sussman's Facebook page and watch that quick video there about the monarchs. Like Jason said, just amazing. Karen has a Facebook question, and she is asking, what are some supplies and tools that I need to succeed in fall lawn care?
Oh, fall lawn care. You know, some different things. You know, make sure. A lot of times we've gone all season with our lawnmower, and we may not have sharpened the blade lately. So, you know, making sure we have that nice and sharp for these later mowings will give you that nice cut that'll look nice and even and smooth going through the winter time. You know, keeping that up would be good. Still being some watering, you know, and the days are getting shorter and a little bit cooler, but if we're not having regular rains, you know, keeping your hose and sprinkler available, giving a little water to that as we need it. And then, you know, for fall also, if you've got some areas that may need a little overseeding, a little seed put to them, having a nice rake or personally, I like the little, it has four tines, little cultivator that you can get in there and pull up any of that old dead thatchy material and get some nice seed down in there as well. And of course, you know, fertilizing fall is one of the best times to be feeding our grass. And so a nice spreader to apply that would be good. If you're getting one, I would get, they're called broadcast spreaders, and it's got this little whirly thing that throws the fertilizer out. And those, it's a lot easier for most people to get a more even application. The drop spreaders, they work well, but they just drop it straight down under the spreader as you go, and you have to be real careful about how much you overlap, or you'll get stripes, and it's a lot easier to have an uneven application. So if you're getting a spreader, I would get a broadcast spreader, and that way you just make a pass and you try to throw the pellets about over to where your feet were the last time, and you get a pretty good and easy overlap that way. But that's really about the basic things you would need for some fall lawn care.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for your question this morning. If you have one for Jason, the number is 316-869-1330. You can also send that question to the KNSS Facebook page. Let's get a Stutzman's update now. Here's Ben Miller.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. Fall is officially here, and we love the cooler temperatures as we transition to fall decor. What a wonderful time to decorate the front porch or patio. Stutzman's has a great selection of miniature and traditional straw bales, corn shocks, and a huge selection of miniature, funky, and traditional pumpkins. Tie it all together with beautiful asters or our large selection of stunning mums starting at $4.99. It's also time to plant pansies, mix and match full flats, 18 pots for only $20 while supplies last. We love fall and invite you to the Stutzman's Garden Center nearest you. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers today, and find out more at Stutzman.com or on Facebook. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a wonderful day. We look forward to the cool weather and all the beautiful change that comes with fall. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers.
And this is the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here to answer your lawn and garden questions. On the last show of this season, 316-869-1330 is the number. Again, 316-869-1330. Let's talk some more about flowers. Jason, why is it good to divide perennials here in the fall season?
Well, a couple of things. You know, people think about perennials. Oh, perennials, they're permanent. They're going to, you know, just always be there forever. And they can be with some proper treatment. But one of the things that a lot of your perennials really appreciate is dividing them. And what that does is, you know, if you just keep letting it grow and it just gets bigger and older and older, and, you know, eventually they tend to age out and you have to replace it after so many years. But as they get bigger and fuller, if we, this time of year is a good time for most perennials, if we dig that up, take a nice shovel and split that into, you know, a few good sized chunks. We don't want to go super small, but, and replant either, you know, where we were, replant one of the pieces, and then you can plant the other somewhere else or share with a friend or whatever. But by doing that, it's almost like planting a new plant again. And so then it regenerates and it gets fuller and fatter again over the next several years. But you continuously are building that new part to it, and they don't get all old and tired like that. And some of them tend to kind of die out in the middle, and then you just have some around the edge. But if we're dividing them, it really is rejuvenating them. It's almost like starting them all over again. And so it's a very good process to do in the fall as some of those perennials get bigger. You think of daylilies and iris and daisies, you know, hosta is another one that they can get a lot bigger than we thought when we planted that small plant. And so by doing that, you know, you are able to have those things, you know, virtually forever if you continue to do that, because it's always just a, you know, a couple year old plant all the time. And so that's a great thing. And then as we get a little cooler, start getting that first frost and all, that's a good time then to begin fertilizing your perennials, your trees, your shrubs. And, you know, personally for me, the easiest thing for me to use is a tree and shrub food. The one we carry is a Fertilome product, but it's a granular, and I'm able to use that same fertilizer for basically anything I have that comes back. And putting that around after they start to go dormant, just like the bulbs we talked about, their roots aren't dormant, so they're taking up that nutrition all through the winter, building up the crown, building up the plant. So when it's time to go, it's got everything it needs right there in the spring.
316-869-1330 is the number for your comment or your question about your lawn and garden this morning. John has called in. Hi there, John. What's your question for Jason?
Well, it's about my lawn. Wild onions, wild strawberries, and escargot, which I understand is tasty, but have never tried before.
Yeah, some of those are a little bit more difficult ones to control. You know, that wild strawberry looking plant, should be able to get control of it with like that Weed Beater Ultra on there. The wild onion, wild garlic, it does do it some damage when you spray it with those weed killers. The problem is it has a little bulb underneath there that it wants to sprout out from. So kind of depending on how big and where you are, some of the better control I've had is, you know, having that weed spray mixed up, and then I will use some non-selective killer, a kills all, a Roundup type of thing, and just maybe even put a little ring around it, a can of cardboard, something, so we're not getting it all over the rest of the lawn, but get something a little more potent on that. And then in the spring, when you see, if you see any sprouting up again, that broadleaf weed control right away, while they're small, can deplete that bulb to where we get rid of it. But probably not something that you're able to just spray and be one and done with.
Okay. How about the snails?
They're now, depending on how big the area where you're having them are, you know, there are some products that you can sprinkle through the area, like a, we have one called Slug Magic. It works for slugs and snails, but, it's usually a metal base, like a zinc or a copper, and it kills them as they come in contact with it. That's a good way. Anything you can do to clean up old debris, old leaves, things like that from the area to where that soil can dry a little bit more on the surface will kind of help reduce some of them as well.
John, thank you so much for your question this morning. Jason, we just have a little bit of time left. If somebody couldn't get in this morning and they've got a question about their lawn or garden, how can they get that to you during the week?
You know, we may be finishing up the show, and I appreciate all the calls and questions this season, but I am still here at Pleasant View year-round. You can still drop me an email at questions@stutzmans.com. Always include those photos with it. And, of course, stop out and see us here in Pleasant View. It's a great experience for fall and for Christmas time.
Jason, a lot of great info again this season, and we'll talk to you in the spring, okay?
It'll be here before we know it.
Yes, it will. Thank you for listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. And we hope you join us again in the spring.